Welcome back. I'm Jane Worrilow, and this is the Sacred Changemakers podcast. Now more than ever, we're being asked to meet this moment, not just with strategy or skill, but with presence, resonance, and a willingness to lead from our deepest truth. That's what we're here to explore through real conversations with coaches, changemakers, and soul-led pioneers across the globe. And just before we dive in, I want to thank our podcast sponsor, The Resonance Collective. It's our private community for coaches who feel that shift within and are ready to lead inspiring change, grow their work, their presence, and their impact from the inside out. You can learn more and request an invitation at sacredchangemakers.com. But for now, take a breath, settle in, and let me introduce you to today's insightful conversation. Welcome back to the first episode in our spring season of the Sacred Changemakers podcast. Today we're diving deep into the concept of becoming a spiritual powerhouse with today's guest, Dr. Dorothy Martin Neville. Known for her wisdom and profound insights, this is a conversation you won't want to miss. So let me share a little about Dr. Dorothy. She has an extensive background as a speaker, author, consultant, and master coach. She's been featured on the Oprah Winfrey Network, as well as the New York Times, the Huffington Post, NBC, and ABC. As a psychotherapist, Dr. Dorothy has been in practice now for 25 plus years. She's been a clinical instructor at a Connecticut medical school, co-chair of the advisory board of a multi-million dollar NIH grant, and a recipient of that grant funding to research her work. She's a pioneer in CAM, the complementary and alternative medicine in the United States. Now, as a founder of four companies, Dr. Dorothy has knowledge of the challenges facing leaders in both business and in life. As a business and life coach, her focus is on mindfulness, emotional intelligence, and NLP, calling her clients to far greater success and joy in life and business. And in our conversation today, we explore what it means to lead a life governed by the spiritual. Dr. Dorothy discusses the importance of meditation, personal growth, and embracing the essence of who we are. She also elaborates on how our stories can limit or propel us toward fulfilling our potential. We consider how embracing the sacred in our everyday lives can lead to impactful change. You'll discover how to find your place of inner peace amidst the chaos of modern life and how spiritual awareness can enhance both leadership and organizational culture. Dorothy shares insights on recognizing the true essence of others, leading purpose-driven lives, and the power of living authentically. So whether you're a leader, a change maker, or someone seeking a deeper connection with yourself, this conversation is filled with inspiration and practical wisdom to help guide your journey. There are many valuable lessons and reflections that I took away from this episode. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Dr. Dorothy Martin Neville. Hey, Dorothy, welcome to the Sacred Changemakers podcast. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation today. But before we dig in, you know, our listeners, they've just heard your professional bio. And we have a tradition here at the podcast to go beneath that bio a little bit and just ask you something about the real life human that lies underneath. Mm-hmm. Who is she?
Oh, my goodness. She's a woman who loves life. I love life. I love people. I love getting to know how their mind works, getting to know who they are, what their beliefs are, how they see the world, and just jumping in. Life is meant to be lived, not survived. So I'm very much somebody who is inquisitive, innovative, and always wanting to learn and grow more.
I love that. You know, and the title that we've chosen for our conversation today is Spiritual Powerhouse. So I want to start there. What does that mean to you?
For me, what that means is that to be a spiritual powerhouse is to be somebody whose whole life is governed by their spiritual beliefs. Mm. You know, I truly believe life is a gift. I believe miracles happen every day. And we are here to lead from that level. Yes, we're meant to have money. We're meant to have a good life. We're meant to meet people from all over the world because it expands us. It makes us so much more of who we are. But always from that place of connecting with the essence of who we are, connecting with our own soul's presence. And coming from there, there's such a depth of knowing of who you are that there's nothing out there that can really throw you into defense. Because the soul has always been, it always will be. And we're here living this life journey with a real sense that I'm far from done and far from perfect. But I am who I am, and the essence of me is here. I bring it the best I can to the world.
Listening to you speak there, everything that you say completely resonates. And yet, I also think that when I look out into the modern world today, it can be really easy to lose that thread. It's almost like when I look out, I feel like somehow we've lost our soul.
I
I don't
agree.
know. And I just wonder what your sense is of that. And being able to live in that very sacred way and yet still stay connected in modern life.
Well, I for myself, I know I have formed five companies, so I know how we can get caught up in business, we can get caught up in our lives, we can get caught up in so many things. For me, meditation, a morning meditation to start my day is a reminder that this is about my inner journey. Today is about my inner journey. And then once I'm out of bed, because I do that even when I wake up, when I'm first still in my bed. And once I'm out of bed, I then do the stretching and the exercising to remember that this is about taking care of my body. If I'm going to be able to serve my clients better, my family, my friends, I have to be present and healthy here, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. So that remembrance, by the time I've showered and dressed, I'm walking out of the room with everything that I am, right? Present to the reality of who I am. It, because when we come down here, that this since COVID it's been a home office. So when I come down here to this room, and I'm present fully with the people I'm talking with, whether it's a client or a patient or whomever, that there's an awareness that I'm home, which means I'm in here. I'm coming from here, because it is so pressured out here to be focused on finance, to be focused on being right politically, being right socially, doing everything the right way. That, and I put that in quotes because who on earth knows what the right is, but it's just like, ooh, if I was to use their standards, I would be a mess because I'd be so busy with all the conflicting messages and then, which one do I go to? Which one do I believe? Who's got it right? How do I find the one right? How do I find the perfect one? And I can't go there from here. Let me stay here and then just interact. So it's always that differentiation to make it short and succinct. When I work with my people, I say to you, you're the essence sitting in this chair. This embodied essence is sitting right here. This embodied soul, whatever your faith system, is sitting right here in this chair. On the far side of the room are all the journeys you've walked, all the stories you've lived, all the friends you've had, all the lovers you've had, all the careers you've had, all the homes you've lived in, the vacations you've taken. That way over there is the life you created. That has nothing to do with this embodied soul sitting in this chair, because that will keep shifting, that will keep changing. Your home may change 20 times during your journey here, your friends may change. Because they passed, because they moved away, because you moved. All of that shifts and changes. But this essence of who you are is what we need to identify with. When we identify with that, we lose this. So it's always important to remember, I am not the life I've created, and I am not that world out there. I am something dramatically different.
I love listening to you. You have such a depth of wisdom to share, Dorothy, that I just kind of want to underline that for the listeners and kind of ask you something about your own journey. I mean, even though you've just said that, you've come, yeah, I've heard you talk about coming from the orphanage to the boardroom, right? And, you know, in a way, I'm really curious about what, when you look back on your life, are there any experiences or milestones, or maybe they're even awakenings for you, where you started to realize this profound sense of home within that you speak of, that you understood, I could say purpose, but it feels deeper than that with you.
Yes, but when I was six,
Right.
I had my very first vision.
Ah, oh, okay.
And that there was a literally vision I saw, but there was a telepathic message that simply said, "You were right. There is so much more to these people than what we see." And it came about after I was looking at some people in the housing projects where I grew up that were really suffering. And I knew what they were showing me wasn't the real. There was something more. I didn't have the verbiage at that age.
Right.
But, with a very violent father, seeing there was also a very wounded soul in there. There was also a very wounded man in there. And then seeing these women on the stoop that seemed so powerless in the abusive homes that they were living in, and knowing that there was a lot of power in those women who were raising children in spite of that, things appear one way, but there's so much more to it than what we see. And that vision affirmed it, and yet I had, and so I knew this is what I would be doing, but having no clue what that would mean as an adult in terms of a career or a life path. But I just knew that that awareness was going to be governing me for the rest of my life.
It sounds like you had wisdom at a very young age.
Perhaps I didn't know it then, but yes.
Yeah, so when you look back on your life, you know, and you start to see things like directing you, because one of the questions I get a lot is, you know, how do I know that I'm on my soul's journey, I'm on purpose? And what, and how do I know when I'm getting distracted by the modern world? I wonder what you would say to that, because that's also a question I have in my life. Occasionally it comes up. But very often, for me, it's just a sense deep down, like you said, of home, of feeling like I'm able to presence and show up whole here. Whereas in other spaces, I feel more fragmented, maybe.
Right. Well, and it's also that there are times when we feel like we've lost us in our lives, right? So at those moments when we realize we've lost us, or we are losing us, depending on where we catch it, you know, because sometimes we catch it in the process, sometimes we don't catch it till we've landed someplace else. But it's, ooh, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable with this. It's like I've lost me. And then I immediately, truly, even in the middle of the day, will leave the office and go to the kitchen and maybe get a cup of tea or get something just to shift the energy, just to completely shift the energy and regroup and remember, wait a minute, whatever was going on, whatever the dynamic was, I was disappearing. I need to bring me back. And have the ability to do that. You know, and the more you do that, the realization that we are pulled frequently, but the more we choose consciously, and I mean that intentionally, consciously choose to live here in our own presence, the more uncomfortable and the quicker we notice when we're leaving. And so we can come back in 5 minutes versus we may have spent a year or two living elsewhere previously. It's the more you become familiar here, the less comfortable it feels over there. And you notice it much faster.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I wonder what you'd say to any listeners that feel as they're listening to you right now that maybe they have lost parts of themselves, and maybe they can't even understand what it means or feels like to be here. I mean, what advice would you have for them?
Let's look at where you first had that feeling, that experience. What was going on for you? In what context were you in when that happened? Was it around particular people? Was it around a particular situation? Was it around a perspective? What was happening for you when you noticed that? Rather than this big global philosophical concept, let's deal with some pragmatic realities here. When did it dawn on you that it didn't feel at home?
You know, and that leads me into, I've been reading your book, and you talk a lot about the stories we tell ourselves. And I
Yeah.
think this is a really important point is, just as you were talking about the life over there and kind of the home here, I think our lives are full of stories. It's how we shape who we think we are and what we think we can and can't do. But also, everything's a story, isn't it?
Yes and no. Some of the stories we tell ourselves are limiting. Some of the stories we tell ourselves are false. I was with a client a couple of weeks ago at a team meeting. She had her team there and myself, and I was helping her plan 2025. And she said something to the effect of, but I'm just this farm girl. And I said, really? You spent 42 years in a career in which you made millions and millions of dollars for people. And you're just a farm girl. She says, yes. I said, so if you look at me sitting here with you and your team, do you see an orphan? Do you see a child from the housing projects who's hanging with gangs and running from the police? Who do you see when you look at me? And she said, that's ridiculous. I said, no, it's ridiculous if I identify with the child I once was. But it's perfect sense if you identify with the child you once were. Okay, then I don't like that idea. I don't like where you're going with this, but I can see it. So it's like let's get real. If that's the story that we identify, we still identify with that child we used to be, we are now betraying the man or woman we've become. Right? Because he or she is still a part of us, but we have brought in so much more. So identifying with that as a reason why we can't do this, that, or the other thing negates all of the training, all of the education, all of the life experiences, all of the personal and career development we've been through. So that story is absolutely betraying person we become as an adult. So for me to help you identify that story that is limiting you doesn't mean what you were saying was a lie. It's just a lie today. Okay? Very different from a story that says, I know if I really focus on this next goal, this next business I want to form, or this project I want to achieve, I want to take that to the next level. I want to become even more of who I am when I do that. That's a story. But that's a story that's calling you to continuously become more, to continuously live your life purpose, have impact and influence in the world. So that story is based on potential truth of who and what I can create and what I can do. This other one is betraying who I am. This is calling me to become even more of who I truly am. So very, very different. Yes, two stories, but one's based on a lie. The other is based on the future and the possibilities.
And I see how, just in what you were describing there, anything is possible, because I've heard you say that too. Anything is possible when you really kind of start to look at your stories in that way and start to maybe focus more on the positive than the stuff that's limiting you. I really see.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's funny because we see ourselves one way and others see us so differently.
Yeah.
You know, my mind, every once in a while I go back and I'm just this kid living in public housing in the inner city, right? And then I laugh and say, girl, you just blew that one. You are not that child. You've had a $1 million payroll in some of your companies. You've done extremely well, you know, and I look at that and say, whoa, that can be how I identify me. And I've been to places where a woman walked up to me and she was doing something. And I said, can I help? She said, how would you know? You were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. I'm thinking, I have no idea what she's seeing, but it has nothing to do with my reality. And I thought, and I was initially shocked. And then I laughed inside and thought, boy, have I come far. If the image I'm giving is that I was born in royalty, I was born in this huge palace, I was born in this wonderful, great, big, elaborate place, that, boy, I have moved away from the identity of that child. That was my reality, right? So we look at, who are we? You know, I'm not the woman that was born in a massive home, and I'm not any longer a child living in the projects. There's something so dramatically different. So how we're perceived by others, or how we perceive ourselves, can be based on the truth or based on a story that gets created. That's the choice is ours.
And it seems to me this is so important in leadership today, particularly as, you know, so many leaders are facing what I see as unprecedented levels of uncertainty. I would almost say it's like we've pierced the illusion of some of our collective stories that maybe we were just like resting on before. And now in these times of, you know, deep uncertainty that people are facing, certainly about the future, I wonder, you know, how this plays out for leaders, because what you're describing about the different perceptions everything. And this idea of, for me, spiritual powerhouse, you know, there's a question that often kind of I ask myself, which is, if I hold my leadership or my change making as sacred, what difference does that make? And I feel this is where this thread of spiritual powerhouse comes back in to remind us, really, that there's something more than just what we can touch and feel and see.
Oh, it's absolutely something so much more. We can see the results of it, but we can't see it. Just as we can see the results of an energy shift, but we don't see the energy, right? But we can certainly feel, you know, somebody walks in the room filled with rage, everybody in the room changes. It's like, ooh, let me sit up and let me take a deep breath and be ready, right? And yet they haven't said a word. We just energetically felt their rage walk in the room, versus somebody in such joy and humor walks in the room. And there's another complete different shift. And yet we can't see what that is, but we certainly feel it, right? And so it's really trusting that just because we can't see it, it's irrelevant. You know, We can't see it, but it impacts us completely, absolutely completely. And so it really makes us become discerning as to what energy we let in our lives. It really is. My granddaughter the other day was saying, "Nana, are you going to go see that horror movie?" And I said, "There isn't a chance in Hades, sweetheart, I'm going to see that horror movie." I said, "Why would I do that to my body?" She's, "Because it's fun." I said, "No, it isn't. Not for me. If you love that, sweetie, you go have a ball for yourself. I'm going to stay right here." Horror movies are not my cup of tea. But it's like, where do you want to play? Who do you want to become? Who do you want? What do you want to reinforce in you is really, really important.
And in my experience, that's not something we kind of are socialized into. It's almost like, especially in organizational life, it's like we think business is out here, leadership is out here. And of course, everything kind of comes from within in a way.
Absolutely everything. And when we work with leaders, it is, what is their value? Do they know their value system? What is their value system? What is their particular, are they CEO, COO? Are they an entrepreneur running their own company? Who are they in their leadership position? And see, I believe every one of us is called to leadership. Everyone walking this planet is called to leadership. None of us are meant to be followers. We're meant to have the ability to say, where we're going, I want you to lead. But it's in my authority that I'm making that statement versus, I don't know anything, you know everything, and I will disappear and just follow you. I'm very powerful. I know what I'm doing. This is your expertise. I want to follow you as you walk in and I learn from you. It's very much a leader position. I'm just not taking the lead role. Okay. So it's when we look at this and we work with our leaders, where are they? Are they connected to who they are, to the people I work with? Are you connected to the truth of who you are? Do you know exactly what your value system is? Do you know exactly what your vision is for yourself and for your future? What do you want that to look like? What kind of leader do you want to be? How do you want to be perceived? And what impact do you want to have? And most of those questions have never been considered. I've got this job, I want to succeed at it, which means the company's going to make a lot of money, and the rest will just fall into place. But no, it isn't just the company will make lots of money and the rest will fall into place. Let's sit back and really look at your leadership. Is it going to be transformational for you? Is it going to be transformational for all the people you work with? Is it then going to be transformational for your company? What's the culture you want in your company? I don't care if your company is you and a number of VAs or you and several thousand employees. What's the culture that you want? Do you want it to be transformational or just transactional? What is it that you want? All of that is the style of leadership you're choosing. It also is who you want to be as a leader, right?
Really important. And you said something there that I'm really curious to find out your kind of take on this. So recently in my own life, as I've been integrating more and more of my spiritual or sacred calling into my work, what I've noticed as it has been shifting in my own leadership has been that my leadership now feels like it's more about following the energy of my calling, going where the work wants to take me, rather than Jane with her strategic mind figuring out a plan and following the plan. And I just heard you make that distinction between leadership and followers. And I just wonder, is there a place where it integrates? Because for me, it's feeling that way at the moment.
We have to integrate it. We absolutely have to integrate it. And for me, it's about the I'm going to follow what I'm in the midst now of scaling my company. I'm taking it to the next level, right? So it's I have two choices. One of my thoughts is creating another institute. I had an institute for 19 years, the Institute of Healing Arts and Sciences, teaching a method of energy medicine that created. There were 2-year and 4-year programs. And now I mean, I closed that maybe 8, 9 years ago. And now my thought is creating another institute, but it is to train coaches and those who do service in the psychodynamics of leadership so that they can support their clients really becoming effective in their leadership, right? But that means there's a whole transformational process for the coaches who are going through the program because they need that transformational process themselves if they're going to be leading leaders down that, right? So that's one thought. Another, looking at scaling in another way of just licensing my work and then training the trainers in corporations, leasing it to corporations and just training the trainers and let them do the work. So both of those, for me, the end product is having far greater impact. Just as with my school, for every physician that went through my school, my work was impacting the thousands of patients he or she would be seeing over the course of their career. By whether I train the trainers and they train all the people in the organization, or I train the coaches, they eventually will go out and expand the influence and impact I can have in helping make this world a better place. Right. So both of those achieve my one goal, helping to make effective leadership embodied and transformational. Right. But I have got two ways to do it. Now I've got to sit with, and I have been sitting with this in meditation, I've been sitting with this in pragmatic applications. What would each one entail in terms of training, in terms of all my own coaching and what I do? And once I come up with, this is exactly where I feel led to go. This is where I feel led to go. All right. Once I know what that choice is, you can rest assured I will very pragmatically sit down and create a system, create a process, and have it set to roll. However, it's going to start with, I know intuitively within me, this is the next step for me in terms of scaling my career. But that's the motivation, that's the skill set, that's where I'm going to go. I now know the purpose, I just need to know the path. But when it's done, this isn't just la la spirituality. This is pragmatic spirituality. I'm being led by my spiritual purpose in a way that is more in alignment with who I'm becoming. And now the businesswoman in me is going to sit down and lay it all out. And have a 3-year plan, have a 1-year plan, have a 5-year plan, and so forth, a 6-month plan, and start moving and making it happen accordingly. We need to bring in all of that. The difference is, I'm not going to say this is the most financial way, the most productive financial way to do this. Consequently, I'm going to betray everything I know is right for me because I'm going to go to the one that will make me the most amount of money. Because my feeling is, when I choose whichever I choose, because I'm so fully invested in it, and that's where I'm meant to be. Amazingly, miracles happen every day. I'm going to meet just the right people that are going to say, hey, this would go perfectly with my company. And I go there, and they're going to say, oh my God, a friend of mine works at this organization. You should take it over there. I'll give them a call. And it's going to just go, or them going with the coaches, and somebody's going to say, what about teaching at this coaching organization? Sure, I'll take it and let them know I've got a school starting and they're more than welcome to send their people here. I'll speak and let them know about it. I trust that when my vision is clear, when I know exactly where I'm going, doors open. That has been my life experience. Doors open. You know, you've got so many people say, gee, I want to do, why isn't it happening? Well, how much do you really want it? How clear are you on where you want to go? How clear are you on who you want to become, not just what you want to do, because both of those are imperative. But that starts with the spiritual and it then moves into the pragmatic.
So when you're in the pragmatic, is there still space for the spiritual?
The spiritual governs it, right? Because let's just say I open up the institute to train coaches. What's going to happen is that as my curriculum is all done, it's what I taught at my school. I'm just reframing it in the context of coaching versus energy medicine, right? So it's the same, other than teaching healing techniques, the dogmatic element of it is the same, although the lectures are the same. It's going to be put out there, but how can I support them in their own spiritual and emotional development? How can I best touch their heart and their soul to help them be transformed into the person they are best capable of becoming? And so the purpose, the motivation is supporting them in their spiritual and emotional transformation. And so that's the level of depth the program will consist of. It won't just be techniques. As I used to say to many when I had my school and doing open houses, I do not train technicians, I train healers. You know, do not come here simply to learn techniques I've created. Come here to become the healer you're called to be. Right? And that's truly what this work is about. I believe all of us are called to leadership and we are all called to be healers. That doesn't mean energy medicine practitioners at all, but every act of love we offer is a healing gift. And if we are coaches, we are called to have unconditional love and support for the people we work with. Doesn't mean we don't confront them. Doesn't mean we don't put it out there. You know, on my website, it says she holds your heart while she kicks your ass, you know, which is, it's a quote from one of my clients, and the others have said, my God, that is exactly it. So I said, let me put it down there so they know who they're dealing with if they choose to work with me, that there will never be one second of judgment on who you are or the journey you've walked. But at the same time, when you start telling yourself all these stories about what you're incapable of, yeah, I'm going to confront you. I'm going to confront you and let you know you're taking a whole bunch of lies you're choosing to live with because it gives you permission to play small. So let's get rid of the permission to play small. Let's throw those stories out the window and let's go forward. So it really is that healthy, tough love, if you will, on occasion. But it's all for the sake of allowing you to live your purpose, your spiritual purpose, allowing you to live from the essence of who you really are. So that governs me, that governs my work. The pragmatic just shows how I'm going to implement it in this physical world that we live in.
So what would you say to leaders who believe that, the sacred spirituality is all woo-woo over there and it has no place in this organization?
If it doesn't, you will not be at peace emotionally, spiritually, or physically. If it has a place, your company is going to excel. And the reason it excels is because when you are doing what feeds your soul, when you are doing what excites you, because you're doing what you're meant to do, you can't wait to get up in the morning and get to work. And because you're not in battle with yourself, there is such clarity, there is such creativity, there is such innovation, there is such ability to go forward without battle. So it isn't exhausting. We're exhausted when we come home from a day of fighting, from a day of pushing, right? It exhausts us. You don't have that. You come home inspired. You may be tired because it's been a long day, but you're inspired and there's a lightness in your heart and in your soul, right? And when you work that way, you impact everybody you work with. And so you now have an entire organization. And when you really love your vision, everybody that works with you ends up making it their vision as well. So they come in devoted to what it is you're doing. And when they outgrow your vision and it's time for them to go to the next level, if you're not going in that same way, they will leave the company, God willing, and they will follow who they're meant to be, doing what they're meant to do. You prepared them for the next stage in their journey. But for many, they will stay and grow with you and evolve with you in purpose and in who they are. That's a choice you have. Or you can have people just showing up and working 8 to 5 and then be so grateful to get out of that building so they can go home. I'd rather not have
And it makes perfect sense. I mean,
that.
it really does. But I just wonder, in my experience, I've met a lot of organizations where they haven't really made space for it. I've heard leaders say, when you're coming into the office, please leave your emotions at the door. We've not even got as far as sacred or spirituality. It's just like emotions aren't welcome. And I just wonder what kind of barriers you notice in your work where people are kind of getting in their own way, or things that stop them from embracing, both the emotional and the spiritual.
Well, if somebody were to say that to me, the first thought that crosses my mind is, are you saying you don't want reactionary emotional outbursts? Yes, leave those at the door. The
Yeah.
level of emotional intelligence that the people who are working as adults should have says, I'm not going to take a temper tantrum here because I can't have my own way. I'm not going to pout and say, I'm not going to, and you can't make me. It's like, okay, the 3-year-old is up and running. Go to the bathroom. Come on back in the adult state energetically and leave the 3-year-old in the bathroom. Come on back out and be who you are. So, yes, I absolutely agree that emotional overreaction does not fit in life, much less in our business, right? But our emotions, and this is the huge differentiator. People who are uncomfortable with emotion have not really differentiated between response and reaction. Because if you suggest to me that we've got a new project going, I say, fantastic. What's it about? What are we going to do? You want that emotion in the office. You want me to be excited about what we're doing. The
Right.
difference is, and that's helping that leader differentiate. The difference is, you don't want me getting angry and saying, there isn't a chance in Hades I'm going to be doing that. I'm so busy now, I'm not going to take on anything new, and you can't make me. And it's like, oh my God, get over yourself, right? So there really is that huge difference. And yes, so when I see people that say that there's no room for any of this, really? So you want people who are robotons, who are not creative, who are not innovative, who are not problem solvers. You want people who just do what they're supposed to do without an ounce of creativity, an ounce of innovation. So if somebody calls in with a problem, they're going to say, too bad, we don't do problems here. Or would you rather they adapted and had a skill set ready to roll? Right? So you can see that so many people, again, have these beliefs that aren't their truth. And that's part of what I do. It isn't just the stories. Identify your stories. Identify what are the beliefs you're telling yourself about that don't fit. What are the beliefs that aren't real that you think are yours?
As you're speaking, I'm noticing the collective stories that many organizations hold about what leadership is and what leadership isn't.
Correct.
And then, of course, so it's almost like we're living in layers of stories at
Yeah.
different levels of system.
We are. We are. Which is why it's so imperative that those of us who work with leaders really have an understanding of ourselves, of our own leadership, and of what leadership looks like. There was a time, and some are still trying to hold on to that, in which I'm the boss and that's the way it goes, and don't question, don't ask, don't do anything. And follow orders, and that's the end of the story. And you've got a bunch of people who do not exist in their lives. They just show up and they go home in depression or anger. But now that doesn't work any longer. So now we have people who want to be creative, who want to be problem solvers, who want to improve the process, who want to improve. Yes, we have to do what exists. We have to follow the processes that exist. We can't have chaos. Let's follow the processes that exist. But when we have our team meetings, have you thought of offering an idea? Something that would make it simpler, more efficient, more effective. Bring it up. Let's talk about it. And if I'm not willing in my own company to talk about ways that are going to make our work more efficient and effective, am I really qualified to lead?
Yeah, it's a great question. It really is.
Our culture is always changing. Life is always changing. How are we adapting? And yes, I don't mean chaos. I don't believe in chaos. I do not like chaos at all. I don't like chaos in my office. I don't like chaos, period. So let's look at it. For somebody to make suggestions about ways we could do it better isn't chaos. Because now that they've made it, I will implement that process and in one swoop say, hey guys, this is another more efficient and more effective way to do this. Let's implement it. And I'm not going to say within the next 10 minutes. By the end of the week, let's have this implemented and we can do this. and we can run more smoothly. And there's always that adaptation period. Again, depending on what the shift is, some it's going to take 6 months, but some will take a couple of days, right? And let's implement it and know that it's always a bit uncomfortable because we always go back to our conditioned responses. But eventually, when the new one's in place, we're going to feel so much freer, so much better.
So I love the depth and kind of the profound nature of your work, Dorothy. So I do want to ask you, like, from your perspective, what is your work in service of? Like, what's the vision for you?
For me, what does it consist of? It really is, my belief is that this is a spiritual journey and we are living our spiritual purpose. And the more we become who we are meant to be, the more broad, more impactful and influential our spiritual purpose can be and helping to make this world a better place. And that comes from, what does that mean? For some, it means more art, more theater. For some, it means more support for our veterans or for the homeless. For some, it means creating a product that we put out there that makes it so much better. We're finding new supplements that impact the biochemistry we never knew about. Energetics. We've got so many things that are helping support making this a better world and making us a healthier person. And, let's implement, let's keep going. We're all called to do this differently. No one way is the best way. We're all called to help and make this world a better place for everybody on this planet in a different way. And so to me, mine is looking at the ways in which I'm called to do it at the moment. At one point in time, it was as a Catholic nun supporting folks. Another time it was as an international airline stewardess making somebody's trip, their getaway, just exciting and flavorful for them so that they could release the stress and the angst of work so they could go back refreshed. Then another time it was being a therapist or being an instructor, a clinical instructor at a medical school, or teaching in graduate school, or teaching in my own school. So it keeps evolving as I evolve. And now coaching, and as I scale, I'll still do some coaching, but as I scale, whatever it is I'm doing next. So it's as we grow, as we realize this was great for a while, but I've outgrown it. What's next? Right?
I think that's a really important point for our listeners to hear, because often I come across people who think they have one calling for their entire life. And so just to hear you speak to that ever evolving, like, what is my calling now in this moment, feels like a really important question.
And if we even reframed that my one calling from the time I was 6 years old was to recognize that much of what we show to the world isn't the truth of who we are. And I did that work as a social worker with teenagers. I did that work in education. I did that work as a therapist. I did that work as a coach. So I'm doing the same life purpose. I just express it
In different ways.
in different ways as I grow to different levels of my own evolution.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, Dorothy, I'm noticing the time, and so I just want to ask you one final question. If there's something you'd want to share with our audience, and perhaps we haven't had time to get there, or maybe it's just a few words of wisdom you'd like to leave them with, what might it be?
To absolutely live this life, not survive it. If we have permission to live this life and live it fully, we will have permission to express every part of who we are. And the impact will be massive.
Thank you. Such wise words. And I've really enjoyed our conversation today. And I know our listeners will just feel so inspired by what you've shared. So thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you so much. It's been a delight. God bless.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening. Before we close, remember that all the resources and links for our guests are available in the show notes at sacredchangemakers.com. And a heartfelt thank you to the members of the Resonance Collective, our podcast sponsors, who help amplify resonance and co-create meaningful impact aligned with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, all visible on our website. And if you're a coach sensing that something deeper is calling you, if you know the industry is changing and you're ready to lead from a more sacred, resonant place, come find out more. The Resonance Collective is open for a short time each quarter, and we'd love to welcome you in. We're at a turning point in coaching. The world doesn't need more coaches. It needs sacred change makers who can create lasting impact. If you're ready to explore what's next, you'll find everything you need at sacredchangemakers.com. And finally, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your intention and efforts to make our world a better place. Until next time, lots of love.